Hi, if this is the first time you're listening to the Advisors Assemble podcast, then I think you should listen to a different episode. Episode 194 is a really great introduction to lead generation for financial services. For everyone else, let's crack on. Hello, and welcome back to the Advisors Assemble podcast. Got Mr. Tom Mapplethorpe with me. How's it going, mate? All right?
Yeah, very good. Thanks. How are you?
Very good. Going to be chatting some like really geeky sort of SEO stuff today. I had a message from Mr. JT, Jamie Thompson, asking me about the latest Google algorithm update and how that would affect people when it comes to like SEO and stuff like that. And we thought we'd chat through it. But it's like an interesting one. Should we give some context of like what it is and why people would be interested in it or not?
Yeah, that's right. So it's basically the update is, you have these things that are called kind of like core algorithm updates. I'm not sure this is a core algorithm update. It's called the helpful content update. And basically Google's just basically going to change how it views content that's produced. I think it hopefully for us, from our kind of like the clients, the people we work with, it will be positive because it sort of follows the principles that we've always generally followed of providing good quality, in-depth content that answers the query that people are after. I think what it's more likely to do is actually kind of, I don't know the word penalize, but maybe not, you know, the update won't be as well suited to people that do certain things like use potentially like, you know, AI, artificial intelligence to create their content, or basically in terms of try and almost not cheat the algorithm, but try and write for SEO. What we tend to do is we write for humans and then make tweaks to make sure it's right for specific keywords and things like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas people, and it was more of a thing like 10 years ago, people would write for SEO first, you know, in terms of keyword spamming and things like that. You don't really see that quite so much now. But again, this is just another step in the direction of making sure you should be writing for humans first, and then worry about the absolute kind of like small technical elements of the SEO, you know, in terms of secondary, if you'd like.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, that's the main brunt of it, I'd say.
And then in Jamie's message, he mentioned that people were picking up on like recipes, and you had a off air, you were saying it's so annoying when you Google. So tonight, Man United playing Leicester. And if you were to Google what channel is Man United versus Leicester on, you would have to, you'd find the link and you would have to scroll down adverts and click to read more stuff to get to the answer, because there was loads of fluff at the top because they'd written an article to try and rank for that because they know there's lots of traffic for it and they can get advertising revenue. Mm-hmm. So what I'm thinking in that example is a page that has the answer right at the top, literally answering the question, is going to perform better from a trusted source website.
Absolutely. And it's like it with so many things, and it's so annoying. And then like news sites do it all the time, like in terms of, you know, in terms of these kind of like local news sites that tend to be kind of controlled by one sort of central thing. And they're sort of franchised out. They're really, really bad for it in terms of, yeah, any question, you've got to read through 750 words before you get just the simple answer you're asking for. So as a user, this update sounds brilliant,
yeah.
which is good news, which is what, you know, Google should be doing.
Absolutely.
And in terms of, I think what it might do is just in terms of make you really kind of like hone in on the kind of, succinctness, relevance maybe of your content. In terms of, we've always tried to get rid of the fluff in the content that we produce anyway, which is why we quite like the podcasts and then the way they get written afterwards and everything like that. Because you know, it is specific question answering specific answers to specific questions, you know, and there's no kind of like fluff or waffle that goes with it. So we're hoping that the process we have for producing content will be well suited to this update. But yeah, I think in terms of what I think it will do is it's really kind of like narrow down and laser focus the content that you're looking to produce. One of the things from the update is saying, you know, in terms of people often have and we've already said it in the past, to be fair, in terms of, you know, what word count should I have for content? And, you know, in reality, there is no specific word count, but are you providing the best answer to the question?
Yeah.
You know, some people could provide the best answer in 150 words, whereas others may try and, you know, stretch out 1,000, which now will probably be punished. Previously, that would have been great because Google thinks, oh yeah, there's loads of content on this page, this is great. But if it's not answering the specific question succinctly enough, I think, yeah, it'll have a fall down in ranking. So I think we may see this move to more of a quality over quantity in the content side, which probably, you know, I wouldn't say necessarily makes life easier. I think it requires more brain power than sort of writing power, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what it changes in reality.
Absolutely. And on their article, we'll probably give a link to the article from Google itself. So they've said, Google search is always working to better connect people to helpful information. To this end, we're launching what we're calling the helpful content update. That's part of a broader effort to ensure people see more original, helpful content written by people for people in the search results. So it's really, really interesting, some of the words that they've used as well. So one thing I want to pick up on was in some of this, they're trying to, what they're implying is there are some websites that try and that are too broad. They'll find an SEO opportunity for, like, I don't know, something to do with the best washing detergent or something, but then there's nothing else on their website about washing detergent, because they've said, does your site have a primary purpose or focus? Do you have an existing or intended audience for your business or site that would find the content useful if they came directly to you? Does your content clearly demonstrate firsthand expertise and a depth of knowledge? For example, expertise that comes from having actually used a product or service or visiting a place. After reading your content, will someone leave feeling they've learned enough about a topic to help achieve their goal? Will someone reading your content leave feeling like they've had a satisfying experience? A couple of things. I was like, don't worry too much about niching within, if you're like a mortgage broker, don't think, oh, I've got to, if I want to do self-employed mortgages, everything's got to be self-employed mortgages. I can't do anything on contractors or home movers or something. But it does raise the question of, I think we've done an episode on this before, do I need a separate website if I do wealth management or equity release or something? Whether they're, I think they're still closely enough together, aren't they? Like, it's not like you're doing something on skateboarding and mortgages.
Yeah, I would say so. And that's why I think with sometimes or occasionally with some of these updates, you've got to sort of take it with a bit of a, maybe a slight sort of pinch of salt, you know, in terms of you know, making any kind of like rash decisions. Because you've got to remember, these algorithm updates are basically taking the whole of the internet in mind.
Yes.
Which is very, 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 very broad. And basically what it's looking to do, it kind of, this sort of element of, like you say, not just anybody can become a niche is probably quite right to a degree. You know, it is, you know, in terms of otherwise anyone can just turn into anything, which if they don't have the expertise on it, then they shouldn't be able to be high in the rankings. So then it's a question, okay, so how does Google decide that? I think this update plays into for the last year and a half or 2 years, Google's ran to this thing called EAT, E-A-T, which basically determines your rankings based on your E, expertise, A, your authoritativeness, and T, your trustworthiness. So it's taking into account things like, you know, like your reviews, the good content you've got on your site, everything else that kind of, you know, proves you are, you know, an expert in the field of what you're in. In this case, say it could be self-employed mortgages, or it could be, you know, bad credit mortgages or whatever. This update definitely sort of plays to that. But that's what I mean. I wouldn't, if you're a mortgage broker looking to kind of think, oh God, do I have to niche to self-employed mortgages? I think that's maybe a little bit too specific in the grand scheme of the internet. I wouldn't be overly sort of concerned. I'd say this is more to, you know, prevent huge, enormous brands or content, should I say, almost like content churners from ranking well for niche terms. You know, it's almost like these news sites, for example. So say, you know, we use the football scores or football results thing as a starting point. So say, for example, all right, what channel is Manchester United versus Leicester on tonight? You know, in terms of, there's a few like local news outlets that rank top. Are they the best places for showing me what it is? Or should it be the Premier League website that shows me what time the football's on? Do you know what I mean? In terms of, it's kind of not just anybody can rank for these sort of terms. It should be, you know, who is the authority on this? And that's where I think from a financial services point of view, I don't think the niching is going to be a huge issue, to be fair. I think it's more, the problems are going to be for those kind of really broad kind of news content sites that look to try and rank for specific terms by sort of playing the algorithm a little bit, using their high domain authority, because they can churn the content out, they can get a lot of content out in a very short amount of time. But, you know, do they really have the expertise or the authority on specific topics, which they don't really? So, yeah, I think they'll feel the pinch a lot more than the standard sort of sites from financial services that we tend to deal with.
I think they're probably, because it is possible. So I don't want to brag, Tom, but I've got the technical expertise to set up a automated website with an artificial intelligence robot to write. If I wanted tomorrow, if I took the day off tomorrow, I could build a website. I could buy, so there are these, you've probably seen Facebook ads or whatever, they're like AI robot writer. Give it the subject and it will write content for you. I could, if I wanted to, set up a nice looking website, automate a weekly or a daily or an hourly article on all of that and in the background, and then retire. But I won't be retiring because it doesn't work. The reason people do this is they'll find little opportunities, and there's a thing called affiliate marketing, which you've probably heard of, like a lot of people probably heard of, where, like, you know, if you refer someone to Amazon, they buy something that day, you get commission. There are lots of companies that do that. So if you've got a page that ranks for a lot of traffic and you get the ads on it, whatever, you make money. And if you can automate creating the content in the background, then that's easy. So I think they're trying to clamp out those.
Yeah.
The people that are doing the recipes where they're giving all the fluff rather than the helpful. So, like, I mean, the words that they use, we go back to it. Will someone reading your content leave feeling like they've had a satisfying experience, or will they leave being like, oh, I've had to click on thing just to get what I wanted to do? Don't worry about too much. One thing, again, I don't want to keep giving JT a shout out. He's got really quite in-depth pages where he was concerned people might scroll through to get the answer that they need. Or there's all the other questions. Whereas I feel like that because I know on his, that he's got the questions at the top. You can click on the question and go to the answer. I think that's a satisfying, they would leave having a satisfying experience. From what I know from him as well, his website converts to inquiry quite well as well. So that is all the indicators of satisfying experiences in my book. So like you said at the beginning, what we do is we get the questions that people are asking. We interview our clients, get them to give us the answers. We edit that as we've got an audio format of that, and we've got the written version of that. And it's really helpful, deep knowledge on specific problems or mortgage services or products or whatever. That's not going to change for us because that's what Google's want. That's what Google's always wanted. I think you may have a problem if you're working with an SEO company or a freelancer who their strategy is to always find the loopholes. So we had David Thompson on the podcast a number of years ago, and that's what he did with his life insurance business. And he was position one for life insurance quotes because they tried to find the loopholes in the algorithm. I think it was the Panda update happened. And he wiped it off, wiped his business off, wiped millions off the value of his business. Google's always been trying to get rid of the people that find the loopholes. That's not going to change. So if you do the right things, do it in the right way, trying to give helpful content without trying to be sneaky, and you're doing the right thing, then you'll always be all right, I think. You know, I mean, we're not really that concerned about this update. Like you said, it's not a core one. It's not like a massive thing. We should see a benefit from it, if only if there are other people doing sneaky stuff.
Yeah, that's right. I think with each of the algorithm updates, as they come in isolation, we're never really too concerned about them. But when you look at the shift from what's happened, maybe, I don't know, certainly kind of like 3 or 4 years ago, say on average there's 2 algorithm updates a year, you're sort of talking, you know, the difference between 3 or 4 years ago, 6 to 8 algorithm updates from then to now, there's a huge change in what sort of happened. But as each change sort of comes along, it's kind of, it doesn't really feel like, well, yeah, okay, the message is just keep doing the right things with content, make your content sort of, you know, in terms of extremely relevant. I think I'd say the biggest change that's really happened the last couple of years is that in terms of, you know, almost positioning yourself and making sure you can position yourself and your brand, should I say, as kind of experts and authorities on whatever you're trying to rank for. And kind of like the trustworthiness, in terms of, that's why we always push so much for reviews. You know, in terms of, we look at a lot of the sites we look after, in terms of those with a good review profile and high branded search tend to naturally rank better for non-branded terms, have a high domain authority, because that's what Google wants to see. You know, it wants to see that we are the best website because lots of people are searching for it. Lots of people have a good experience on site, which again, this algorithm update reinforces. You know, they spend a lot of time reading the content, which we've obviously spoken about recently. Do they complete goals on the site? Do, you know, do they bounce off? Do they find what they want to have? Do they have a good experience? And if you work on these things in terms of making sure your website's right, the content, the layout, and everything else like that, and don't really try and cheat the system, you know, invest your time in quality over quantity. Yeah, I think this algorithm will support it again. But yeah, more often than not, the algorithms do tend to keep inching in that direction of, you know, quality content, quality brands over kind of like the, not spammy stuff, but the other stuff that's doesn't really tune to that, you know, like backlinks. Backlinks will always be important, but, you know, we're constantly seeing sort of like a slow move away from that to other kind of, not intangible, but other sort of less obvious signals that are more about you and your brand and your identity and who you are, rather than the number of backlinks you've got, as an example, or the word count of your pages. which is, which makes, you know, the SEO side of it a little bit more difficult, but it provides, always provides a better experience for the users as searchers. So it's only really good news, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of things you picked up were quite interesting, because we have ranked position one for mortgage leads for quite some time. That we weren't for a bit, because I'd just not looked at the page or anything. And it's, you know, used to be one of our eggs in one basket. Mm-hmm. Sort of source of getting, you know, people to us, because a lot of people search for mortgage leads. And then we didn't rely on it so much because of relationships with some networks and partnerships and things like that. And the podcast, et cetera, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. And then recently I did a bit of work on it, fixed a few things, went straight back to position one. And then I've just found since then, this was a couple of weeks ago, that I've got a load of toxic backlinks because it looks like I annoyed some people by going back to position one, and they've tried to push me off by giving me a load of toxic backlinks, but it hasn't pushed me off. Is it kind of showing and then what we have done on that page is looking at the people first content. We have done two podcast episodes on how to generate mortgage leads and put all the content in there on that page. So it is a really in-depth, it kind of follows all those things that Google mm-hmm. is saying. So yeah, really interesting that it's like you say, less and less about those backlinks and things like that, more about really great in-depth content, which I know is really annoying for people because it's the hardest thing to do, isn't it? It's time consuming.
Yeah, it also requires a lot of brain power. Is the thing. And also, you know, in terms of sometimes we take for granted that, not saying necessarily any of our listeners are, but, you know, people aren't maybe natural writers and they don't really enjoy it, or, you know, they're in terms of their skill set lies elsewhere, which is a little bit like, you know, you sort of naturally assume that, oh, everyone knows how to write well or write for SEO or in terms of do things like that. But it's never really necessarily the case, or not always the case. So, yeah, and we look at this page that in terms of ranks well for us on this mortgage leads page, and it's not like we looked at it and thought, okay, how many words do we need for this? We just put, okay, what would make this page, or you, what would make this page, you know, a great page, give all the information that we want to get. We put it on there, and the word count was the word count. So yeah, it's kind of, you sort of just think what's the content you want to get over, make it good quality. Yeah, we like to think our domain authority, you know, Google positions us as, you know, authorities on the matter, which isn't just because of the article we've written, it's because, you know, of the, you know, the more intangible things that you think maybe Google doesn't pick up on, but it does, you know, in terms of, you know, our branded mentions, you know, potentially any potential backlinks we have from specific partners that we may work with. Yeah, it's interesting, but yeah, no. Funny of the toxic links. Well, with that said, we may want to disavow some of them.
Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure if we've done an episode on that, but so just for reference for people, if you don't know what that is, basically, so going back to that Panda update I talked about was about irrelevant links. So, and links is when someone puts a hyperlink. You know, if you click it, it will go. So, someone has put our website on a dodgy website and links from it to our website to try and penalize us because they're annoyed. They're trying to reduce my website ranking. But all I've got to do is go in Google Search Console and disavow that link. So it's a 5-minute admin job, but it hasn't really done any damage. But it's one of those things we sort of look out for, isn't it? But it's becoming less and less a problem, if that didn't make sense. Is there anything else we should be, while we're talking about creating great content? I mean, we've had episodes before on how to create content, how we create content. The way we do it as an agency, we've got Tessa on our team. She's been on, she interviewed me the other day. Mm-hmm. She interviews our clients' advisors on those specific topics. So we send them the questions and they turn up to a podcast episode like this and they answer those questions and then we type up their answers. So if you were doing that on your own, if you're trying to create your own content, I've always sort of said, you know, answer those questions if it feels easier for you on your phone as audio and then get them transcribed and then type them into an article. Or if you haven't got time, if you're hiring someone else, do your recording or whatever and then give that. Don't get a writer to go and research buy-to-let remortgage. You know, how do I remortgage my buy-to-let? Don't get a writer, you know, to do that. It's got to come, you know, this update that Google are talking about today is talking about having an in-depth knowledge. You're the one with the in-depth knowledge. It's got to come from you. How can someone or you get the answers out of you onto paper, onto a web page, I think is the key, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And also what I wouldn't, you know, if you're unsure what to write, then don't forget, you know, ranking top of the search engines is competitive. It's a competition. Mm. So by that, I mean, go and look to see who ranks top already. Last week, we spoke a little bit about things like search intent, you know, in terms of that there's some searches where you may not necessarily need so much content depending on the intent of the search, but have a look, see what ranks top at the minute. And then in terms of look through the top, I don't know, 6, 7, 10 sites or 10 pages for a specific search term that you're looking for. And then sort of note down what's good about them, what's bad about them, and think, right, I need to improve on this. How can I create a better page than these sort of 10, almost cumulatively, if you like? And that's not to say copy them, that's to say improve upon what they have. And that doesn't necessarily mean write more content either. It may mean offer a more relevant or succinct answer. As sort of, you know, as it's been the case for years now, but you know, Google's always liked featured snippets. That's why sometimes when you search for something and a little snippet at the top that gives you the answer without you having to click on a link, that's a good example of Google looking for a really succinct, specific answer to a specific question. So as I say, in terms of when I say look at other sites and improve upon them, that doesn't mean say write more. That means, you know, can you improve on what they have? And then hopefully you can, being a subject matter expert on it. But yeah, it may not be necessarily quite so easy. And also some of those sites that rank well may have great domain authorities, which will be difficult to topple. That's where it's a case of picking and choosing your keywords, maybe quite carefully, of things that you can potentially rank for, which I know we've talked about in the past, so I won't go over that again. It's not easy, by no way easy. And you know, and even if it was easy, everyone would do it. Then it'd become difficult again because everyone's doing it.
There's only
10 first page spaces. And depending on the search volume, you probably really need to be, you know, top two or three, depending on if people are running ads on the search terms or what. Yeah, it's certainly a competitive space, but if you get there, then it can be very, very lucrative.
Absolutely. I mean, for context as well, there's a search every 3 seconds in the UK on mortgages, over 7.5 million, 300,000 different, over 300,000 different search terms, different things. So the market is massive. So I was looking at this the other day and I was saying to someone, if you need an extra 30 leads a month, you only need in mortgages alone, you only need 0.0038% of the market of searches to convert to get 30 leads, which is obviously 0.0038% is tiny.
Yeah. No, that's why we like mortgages. The search volume is huge.
Yeah.
The search volume is absolutely enormous. So yeah, there's plenty out there and you don't need an enormous slice of the pie. So yeah.
Absolutely. Just looking at, I don't know if this is a toxic domain or not, but I was just looking at the websites that link to us. Apparently, forpeterboroughlovers.uk. Not sure what that is. But there's stuff that, like, yeah, it's ridiculous. Excellent. Well, I think we covered that off. And this, in summary, makes some really good content.
The same as what we probably said
3 years ago.
But it is sort of slightly different in the sense that it's not just about the quantity of your content. It's about, you know, that kind of succinctness, that relevance of it that I think is going to come into the fore as this update rolls out. So and with like the kinds of updates rolling out, they tend to sort of roll out over the course of, you know, a couple of weeks or something. And as an update rolls out, you will often see a bit of turbulence with your, if you do look at your Google Search Console with some of your positions, your impressions and your clicks, it's very, very common for it to be turbulent for weeks afterwards. It does almost always tend to correct itself as long as you keep doing the work, but don't absolutely panic if there's an algorithm update and, oh God, you know, I've gone from 50,000 impressions a week to 10,000 impressions, you know, keep doing the work and it will improve. And it's not necessarily to say you've done anything wrong in your site. Obviously we run a similar SEO process for all of our sites that we look after. And we have some that are always algorithm winners and some that are algorithm losers. It's just a case of, you know, in terms of we probably would have panicked, you know, years ago, the first time it happened. Everyone does. But, you know, we've got the experience of it. So, you know, it will fix itself. It will correct itself. Just make sure you just keep doing the right things. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how this algorithm update plays out.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. We're going to be back doing some more episodes together very soon. We were just, some of the ideas we were just throwing about earlier was talking about whether advertising fee-free advice has any kind of impact on like things like the cost per lead, quality and things like that. I can't remember what else we were talking about. We were looking at some page stats as well. So like the power of a good page. We had some stats on some particular pages of like, this, or you know, one page of a website of about 50 pages was generating X amount of leads for it, and there was no cost associated to that, and it was like that's the power of a really good page.
Yeah, nice.
But we're probably going to be asking for some feedback as well, especially on the fee free side of things from clients as well. So that might not come straight away because we want to get a bit more background, don't we?
Yeah, that's right. We were going to do that today, but then thought we actually...
We're probably giving more questions than answers.
Yeah, that's like playing too much devil's advocate. But yeah, so that's one for the future. Yeah, that's what I mean. I think the original context of it was not so much should you or shouldn't you charge a fee. It's assuming you do charge a fee. How visible are you about that on your website?
Yes,
in the conversations, at what point do you drop the F-bomb, the fee bomb?
Yeah, absolutely.
As you're sort of dealing with people, you know, in terms of do you do it up front because you don't want to waste time with people that just don't want to pay a fee or are going to, you know, grumble about it? Or do you look to sell your service first? So when you do say, oh, there's a fee of however much it is, you know, it actually seems reasonable value if you've been through that process. So we need to get a little bit more information first to kind of give more answers than questions, I think. But yeah, that's one we're quite keen on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would also, we are going to do Tom's business superhero episode as well. That's going to be coming. You'll be like, oh, wow. I need to do some research. That needs to be done. Also, if you like dad jokes, please follow me on Instagram because I do one a week. But there is also some helpful content on there as well.
So if you're not
secondary, yeah. I've got to say, my content on Instagram, my community garden work and dad jokes performs way better than helpful marketing content. But I don't know what that says about me.
I mean, you said that on LinkedIn though, don't you? Whenever you put something almost a bit more personal on LinkedIn, the visibility, the engagement, everything else is significantly higher than anything sort of like work related, if you like.
I love how we've gone on a tangent here. So I want to give you an example because I think there's a real stigma attached to LinkedIn of it being this business thing. Mm. So I went on holiday last week and thank you, Tom, because I didn't need to. You held the fort and the rest of the team as well. It was the first holiday that I've been on since I quit my job. It's the first holiday I've been on. I literally did not open the laptop. I didn't log on to look at anything. Yes, I had my phone. I had, I think, two messages and there was no drama. And so
might be a good time to tell you we did actually sell the business. Sorry, I knew there was something I didn't update you on. We're now a sausage factory. Sorry.
And we lost 10 clients and you are on the dole. So I put it on LinkedIn and their photo is of me building a sandcastle. And it was just, you know, I suppose it is work related, but it's not serious for... There's people that I do not know who are in the industry. So there's someone here left a really quite... You would assume, looking at that, that we're best buddies. I've never spoke to her in my life. And she's owns a mortgage business. I mean, this feels like a separate episode, but doing all of it when it's all work, pure work, I think people do like that human side. Mm. I think... I don't want to boost my own ego, but I think where we have done quite well is humanizing ourselves.
Mm.
Like not as just like we do have a lot of banter with our clients and on team meetings. We're not serious. I mean, we geek out like we have just done now. We've got the ability to geek out. But we're not like that all the time. Most of the messages between you and I about fantasy football or football or whatever, we're not constantly... And I think there's the same as well. Most financial advisors, mortgage brokers have got like personalities. Like all of our clients, you speak to them more regularly than I do. All of them are interesting. Like they're not your typical sort of stereotype, are they?
Yeah, no, 100%. 100%. And I think what people like from, not necessarily saying with us, but generally speaking, it's just kind of like the authenticity of being like a normal or like a real person.
Yeah, that's it.
It's not sort of pretending to be something it's not. It's not sort of hidden behind.
We're not trying to be better as well. I think that's the thing as well. I think sometimes some of the stuff I put on that is self-deprecating.
I think particularly on things like LinkedIn as well, I don't see that much of it, to be fair, but like you also like roll your eyes a little bit of people sort of, you know, putting, you know, the humble bragging. Yeah. As I like to call it. But you just don't seem like an almost like a real person.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of everyone's just like, oh my gosh. So, see, you know, and so some of them go viral, don't they? In terms of for whatever reason.
I don't want to make this a Jamie Thompson episode, but the by far the best post I saw on Facebook. Have you seen the photo of him in a flashy car? I can't work out the car, but it looks mint. And right, it starts. Right. It's really important to reward yourself when you've achieved something that you've put a lot of time and effort into accomplish. In my first year of being self-employed, I earned just £4,000 in 12 months. A few years later, and after 1,000 hours of effort, I'm now in a position where I can spend my money on nice-to-haves and would say luxuries, not just the essential. Blah, 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 blah. So I had it on trial for a month, and now I've done it. I've subscribed to YouTube Premium. but it was like that tip, and there's him with his shades in this car, and it basically turns out that his dad bought a car and he sat in it to get his photo. It was brilliant.
Good, yeah, that's great. That's really good. Really good.
Yeah. Very good. I think probably when you're a new business, I think I did this. All the mistakes I've made, you know, when I had my caricature as my face on LinkedIn.
I look like your avatar.
Yeah, I didn't look like a fake person. And I think it's natural that you can only do that over time, isn't it? I don't think anyone from day one can be completely themselves, because we've all got our insecurities and anxieties and things like that about posting stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe some quicker than others or whatever. Unless you are a horrible person. And if you are a horrible person, when you get in front of your clients, you're not going to convert them anyway, are you?
Yeah.
Let's be honest. If you are a nice person that genuinely wants to help and you've got your quirks, you know, like me, why am I obsessed with Batman? Why did I buy a child's Batman mug? And it is really awkward to drink out of, but I like Batman. That's weird. But I'm not afraid to share it or show it. I think it just humanizes people. And I think you become more approachable. Yeah, people might think you're a weirdo and not want to work with you. But then if they think you're a weirdo, then when they get to know you and work with you, they're not going to work with you for long anyway. So
yeah, you can't be everything to everyone, can you?
No.
In terms of there'll be maybe some people that have or haven't worked with us because they want to work with a more kind of like traditional agency.
Yeah,
that's kind 100%. Of in suits and ties and things like that. And, you know, that's fine.
Or
that's
have a dog on their About Us page.
Or be called Juice or Bowl. Yeah,
or a ping pong like table or a slide.
We did used to have a movable desk that was made out of scaffold boards.
We did, and we did try and pay ping pong on it, but because I built the tables and they're not completely flat, it would hit a divot. But it just made the game ping pong more fun.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's true.
But yeah,
we did try to do that. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But yeah, it's just kind of like you are who you are, and absolutely. Yeah, and just in terms of be yourself as best as you can. You are just guaranteed you are not going to appeal to everybody. That's just a fact of life. And if you do, it's the same with marketing. We always say, you know, if you try and be everything to everyone, you're nothing to no one.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're better off not necessarily saying finding a niche, but in terms of, you know, play to your strengths.
Absolutely. Like us, we take a specific episode like the Google algorithm update and turn it into something else.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They're completely different.
Is that a strength?
Exactly. Right, cool. We're going to stop now. Did want to do an episode actually on how marketing should be a reflection of yourself, which we've sort of covered, but it'd be good to get some other people and some examples of that. Because I can't remember. I probably mentioned this before, but there was a guy who wants to be like Hudson Taylor Rose. Mm. They're really funky and really cool. And that person was not like those. And it didn't make sense. So I'd love to do a conversation fully on that if we've not covered it already.
Yeah.
Cool. Right. Yeah, follow me on Instagram if you like dad jokes and irrelevant content. inst.acurtis. So it's like Insta Curtis. Did a very good... very good dad joke this week, mate. Very good.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you've seen it.
No, my phone's been broken, so I better go to Instagram.
Your phone should be arriving right now, about now.
It has already arrived. It's downstairs. Thank you very
Amazing.
much.
Amazing.
The first thing I'm going to do is go on...
And go on Instagram and look at my latest dad joke. Excellent.
Instacurtis.
Instacurtis, there you are. Awesome. See you next time.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.